When we last left our heroes, they had saved many villagers and tried to deal with the destruction and doom brought on by a half-giant. What will happen next as we join them in what we do in the basement?
The dwarven fellow, Sputton, he's like, ah, there it is. That's it. I figured it out. It's that place. And you guys kind of like look outside of the window, and you, Sputton is, or like outside of them to the alleyway. Sputton is pointing at a building, and it's like a two-story sort of stone building. But the main floor, there's no door that you can see, like facing out into the street. And there's no windows. So you just get the sense that
is there some sort of ramp that would lead up to a higher part of the level?
Yeah, is this accessible, this building?
It doesn't seem to be so. Now, Sputton looks at it and
goes, what about a pulley that goes to a high window?
Is there some sort of simple machine?
Are the hinges held in with screws?
Yes, yeah, no. This is a big numbers and simple machine podcast.
Yeah,
we're getting
a great
yeah.
name, bro.
Big numbers and simple machines.
The RPG podcast.
Give me an insight check, all of you. And you too, Thomas.
Natural 20.
You just roll a d20, Tash.
Okay.
Thomas got a nat 20. I mean, it honestly doesn't even matter.
Yep.
Two.
So, yes. So, Thomas.
I'm looking the other direction.
I got a seven, so
it's
not
a seven. What did you get, Luke?
11. Okay. I'm like mildly aware.
Yeah. Sputton has been pointing at this building and says, this is the building. Tash, you don't even look at where he's pointing.
No, I found like an aluminum wrapper in the street.
Yeah.
And it caught my eye and I'm just focusing on that.
Sure. Yeah, it's the wrapper from the Warriors.
Yeah, I should have picked that up. That's on me, guys.
Anus's insight is so good that he goes galaxy brain and he's like, so the building's behind all this destruction.
Thomas, Anus remembers when you guys first walked out into sort of the area of the bell tower. You remember seeing on the stage a like tattered jacket hanging onto a podium. You might be able to put two and two together that this jacket might have belonged to
Lorenzo Pyre.
Yes, to Lorenzo Pyre. So with that information, I don't know what you guys want to do.
Let's go back and check out the jacket.
Sounds good. Is that what you guys want to do? Yeah? Yep. You're going to talk about it? You're going to go back check out the
let's
jacket?
Let's go check yes. on that jacket. How about we huddle, decide how we get there? All right, let's split up. We'll cover more ground.
What? Sorry, there's a shiny thing.
Yeah, that's my bad. I figured it out.
Back when I was a wee 45-year-old, I had a poster of Lorenzo on my wall.
Yeah. and was he wearing the red jacket in it?
Yes, he was. His signature jacket.
Okay, so Sputton's like, right, I agree. Maybe we should go grab that. And you guys start making your way back towards the bell tower. As you guys near the bell tower, you hear a rumble coming down the streets. It's shaking everything around you. This is a very Jurassic Park inspired episode. I'm starting to realize. Yeah. You
see it up my healing potion is vibrating.
Yeah. You see those ripples?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we all keep trying the dinosaur sounds?
Yeah, I would like
Clever Knoll.
A gnome on the side of the road just goes,
Well, that's a big pile of crap.
There's just a big pile of shit in the middle.
Why is this here?
Yeah. In the museum, there's also a pile of giant shit.
Missed that exhibit?
Yeah, it's a great exhibit. As you guys get there, this rumbles is packing, and suddenly a massive half-giant approaches. Followed by three Knoll thugs. One of them is you recognize as the one that got away before, and he's like, there they are, there are those guys who attacked me. They killed Bart and Weasel. And he's all pissed, and the other two Knolls are like, yeah, and they're kind of coming at you from the other side. Whereas this half-giant is just coming back towards the podium, and he sees you guys running towards it. He's about to kind of throw down right away when he sees people.
So if we say hi, That's combat.
Yeah, we're not going to pull a...
Well, I knew the person. Yeah. Oh, McGinty.
Yes. Yeah.
I knew. Look, I knew her. I was trying to defuse the situation.
Now, I will tell
I
you
that... I misread it.
...that the half giant hasn't noticed you guys yet.
Bye.
Roll for an issue.
Yeah.
I thought I knew him. Thought I went to high school with him. He looks familiar to me.
He yells Ruta at the giant as well.
Sorry.
No, but...
Forced perspective, he looks small.
But the dogs are making a lot of noise, and so if he hears something too much, he's gonna do something. But these gnolls are about to attack you guys. So, everybody, roll initiative.
10.
Frank got 21.
21.
Blackjack.
Lucky number 7.
What's your dex modifier?
Mine's 2.
Okay, I got 21 as well, so by the 3.
Yep, you win, old man.
So these dogs are they're a barking. They're coming for you guys. These dogs are a barking. And but Omoyoti, you notice them coming, and what do you do?
We already are in combat.
Yes, they're close to you.
I'm going to. There's one that's already kind of hurt from before.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to try to find any. Is there any cover by me?
There's some rubble around, so you might be able to find yourself some cover. Yeah. But they have noticed you, like so they
yeah. Right. Yeah, I just want any sort of cover bonus I can get. So I'm going to like throw myself behind some rubble and aim a crossbow at the one that's injured.
Okay.
And fire off a shot.
Yeah, okay, sure.
And I assume there's no one near, no allies within 5 feet, so.
5 feet? Probably not. Not quite.
Yeah. Okay, not yet. 13 to hit.
13 to hit. 13 does hit.
Ooh, 4 damage.
4 damage. All right. So you loose this crossbow arrow. It smokes this guy. So this is the one that was previously running away, and you slashed him with your short sword as he was running by, Tash. And so he's got a big wound, and you see the arrow goes right into the same wound, and he's like, "Fuck, man! Oh!" And he's just so angry and like writhing at the mouth, and he's really hurt.
Still alive.
Still alive. Yeah.
We gotta put these dogs down.
All right, Frank. What are we doing?
How close are they to Frankie Boy?
They're probably about 15 feet, 10 to 15 feet away.
And that's all, that's the 4 dogs. And how about the big boy?
It's 3 dogs. And the giant is about, like, he's probably about 50 feet away.
Okay, that's fine,
Yeah, he's a little far away.
Looks like we got ourselves a 3-dog fight.
I'm just going to make a little roll here to see if he heard that guy's loud yell in pain, actually. I meant to do that. He did not.
Cool. You know all...
stomach.
Jesus.
that was the giant.
It's the rumble of battle.
Some good Foley.
Frank kind of like kneels down a bit and goes, "All right, fellas, let me tell you a story." And as they're coming close... Frank starts telling them about how to harvest spice properly, and while he's doing this, he's also casting sleep within that space, so all 3 of them potentially fall asleep.
Okay. So what Beautiful. Do we have to do for this?
So I'm gonna roll 5d8,
okay,
and that's the total amount of HP I can affect.
Okay.
Ba-ba. Oh, beauty.
8. 16. 19. 26. 28.
8. So,
big numbers.
So there's 3 of them. I can hit 28 HP worth of sleep.
Essentially then, the one that's got an arrow sticking out of his now open wound, passes out. And one of the guys, there's one of them that's like a little beefier than the other ones.
Knew it.
He's a big baby. They both like curl up like the like you know like dogs do. They both like snorkel around a little bit while you're telling them the story about spices. And they're just
dogs don't purr.
What kind of hell of abominations are these things?
Wait, this is a fantasy world.
Gnolls purr. Gnolls.
That's actually adorable.
So they're like sort of purring in their sleep here. And okay. So
and that's the right way to get yourself a bit of oregano.
McGindy's just like, that's not how you do it. That's wrong.
Anus, what do you do?
A strange world.
Are all three gnolls?
One second, sorry, sorry, Anus, hold on. Oh, shit. Okay. So this half-giant just rolled a nat 20 on his perception check. So cool. before you do anything, you just hear, this huge roar comes through, and this giant turns to face you guys. And I'm going to add him to the initiative order here. So he's going to roll initiative. But he's slow as fuck. So
sorry, folks. I believe that was my old loud storytelling
video. Yeah.
Your story was too compelling.
You lulled them to sleep, and yet they're still like massive. So, or massive noise.
Didn't
came
you know
through.
That the one weakness of half giants is a oregano? Oh.
Yeah, the half giant heard you say oregano and got real hungry, and so he turned around. All right, so. Go ahead, Anus. What happens?
Sorry, so all of the gnolls are asleep?
No, two of them are. One of them okay. is not.
Piece of shit.
I think but I noticed that the half-giant has turned towards us and is ready to attack, so I think I pull out a javelin. How far away am I from the giant?
He's about 40 feet away.
Okay. So I'll move 10 feet closer.
Okay.
And I'll pull out my javelin and I'll say, "Hey, half giant, fetch," and then I'll throw it.
What?
I couldn't think of a second joke, so I said the first one again, and I get a 6.
You get a 6, so that. That does not hit. So you throw this javelin, it just flies past, like, it doesn't even make it to him. It just sort of sticks in the ground in
front
of him.
And I say, and let that be a lesson to you.
He's like, do you want this back or something? You said fetch, I don't understand.
I mean, that, sure, if you're offering, yeah.
Yeah, that guy can't go because he's asleep. It's down to you, Tash.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how far away is the half-giant?
40 feet.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm going to lay my hunting trap and hopefully he steps into it.
Okay. Okay. What does your hunting trap look like? Can you describe it for me?
So, like a bear trap kind of thing.
Sure.
I maybe put some oregano in the center to try and entice him towards it.
And he's into this. He's like, ooh. Yeah.
And yeah, big teeth. So if he steps on it, it'll like snap right on it.
Okay, great. Great, great. So you lay this hunter's trap. Now he notices this. He's not going to make it to it yet. Like, do you put it? Where do you put it? Is it like really close to you? Is it closer to him? In the middle?
I guess.
I'm going to say there's enough debris that you can do it in like a sneaky way.
Kind of like close to us, but hidden behind a piece of rubble that he'd still have to kind of go through in order to get to us.
Sure. Can I say that the fire on the rubble is like roasting the oregano and sending like this waft
yes,
of oregano cell
sent
up to
doing.
This giant? Okay, yeah. Wonderful. So that's happening.
Oh, that's a big giant.
Oh, it's not. It's a pretty big for a half giant.
It's a half giant. Oh, we don't want to be around here with a big one.
What do you use your spices for?
Oh, lots of things. Like to, sometimes it's the...
What are spices to begin with?
Why, they're...
I'm new to this world, and I don't know...
Oregano.
Oregano?
You see, it's
oregano.
Oregano? Well, which is it?
Oregano is fine.
Oregano?
Oh, he's got a regional accent. Never mind.
The thing about spices is you gotta get them just right. You know? Just squeeze them together, toss them in your flatbread, and just give a good cook.
Flatbread?
Oh, this is good. This one's gonna take a long time.
Well, you heard of tall bread?
Tall bread.
Okay, never mind.
Sputton has no clue what the fuck any of you are talking about. What are you all yammering about spices for fuck's sake? This is intense time. And
okay, you know what? Calm down. I'm learning here.
He just goes to take his takes his he's got like a battle axe with him, and he just goes to hit the fucking sleeping the one that's hurt quite badly, the sleeping gnoll. And so he rolls his attack roll.
And he would get advantage because he's prone.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter because he hit him on the first roll, so not even going to need to roll again. So he fully just takes this guy's head right off with a battle axe. He's like, never liked dogs, me. Never enjoyed them. So, next up is the half-giant. Now, the half-giant is going to use most of his movement to get to this wafting oregano smell because he's been distracted. Now, what was the language again, Tash?
The creature caught in the trap must succeed on a DC 13 dexterity saving throw.
DC 13 dexterity saving throw. And we all know half-giants to be incredibly dexterous, so that's good. He does succeed, though. He scoops up the oregano powder and, like, licks it as he's going. Now he is...
rolls it up into a blunt.
Yeah, he smokes it. This half-giant starts to smoke a fat doobie of oregano.
Oh, no.
And
maybe we can make him chill out.
He's like, this is that good, is what he says. he's smoking it and moving towards you. He's quite close to you guys now. And you can tell that you're in the danger zone. And while this is happening, shout out to Kenny Rogers.
Yeah.
Also now part of the timeline.
Yes,
yeah, R.I.P.
Yeah,
R.I.P. Power.
Kenny Rogers. So now the one of the gnolls who isn't asleep has been watching you guys discord about spices and is just like, this is like,
they're intrigued, right?
Yeah, like he wants to learn more and he's a little curious. He's like, I don't like spices. I could spice the meat that we take from the... No. And he kind of like shakes it off. And he saw, like, when he saw Sputton sort of decapitate his homie, he's like, absolutely not. And so he like goes to attack Sputton. So now this is just me fighting myself, which is a very weird thing to do.
Happy to be here, Kevin.
So he just misses. He's too into the spice conversation. Good. He's like, oh yeah.
So what goes well with a rag in it?
Well, it's really good for some dairy, if you like cheese. Cheese is what I'm going for. I assume cheese is real.
Good with dairy?
Yeah, cheese is real.
Okay.
No, this world has Timothy Dalton, but no cheese.
That's the price we paid when we made that wish.
So the other guy's asleep, so he doesn't... How do they get out of being asleep?
It's 1 minute long. Oh, so there's 10 rounds.
Asleep.
Right. Or okay. Until someone like interacts with them.
Yeah, okay.
Negatively, mind you.
Yes. So, okay, the other guy's asleep. We're back up to old McGinty.
I'm gonna run over to the sleeping gnoll and just pull out a chef's cooking knife and just go
oh
for
my
it.
God. Sure, give me an attack roll.
Yeah, I'm gonna attack with advantage.
Yeah.
Because he's prone and asleep, so I get my sneak attack. That's bad. 21.
Yeah, 21 does hit.
Beautiful.
Yep. Roll your damage.
7 plus 10. So 10 damage.
10 damage total. To this guy. He's asleep. Now, this is probably going to wake him up. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So he's like, ow, man.
I thought these were sharper. I was hoping you'd stay asleep.
he looks at the other guy who's just drooling and thinking about spices now, the other thug, and he's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm sorry. And so that's how that goes. Next up, we've got Frank. Frank, what do you do?
Giant is like, how close?
Mighty close.
Mighty close.
Yeah. Like he's probably 15 feet away, if not 10. Yeah.
Cool. Thanks for trying to chat this guy up. Hey, they're a big guy.
Chat him up.
Well, what are the odds I could convince you for a secret? To walk away from this.
He's like kind. He thinks, because he's smoking this oregano blunt.
Yeah,
he's
like it's the only context in which this would make any sense.
Yeah, he's smoking this oregano blunt, and he's not sure. Like he's trying to play up. You know how like you'd have a friend who'd like, oh, I'm so drunk, and they're not actually drunk.
Yeah.
He's trying to do this about being high. So he's like, what did you say, man? Like, for a secret or what? But it's like deeper and more scary sounding than I just did.
Can I hear that actually? Hold on. What did you say, man? Like a secret or what?
what are you trying to ask? You're asking to walk away?
Yeah, I think we're going to go for persuasion.
You're just trying to persuade him to walk away.
I'm going to tell him a secret. If he agrees to walk away from this.
Roll it with disadvantage.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a disadvantage if I've ever heard one.
Yeah.
All right, 17 first.
That's pretty good.
17 again!
That's really 17. Jesus Christ.
Plus 5, 23.
That's 22. First of all, that is 22.
Well, plus one for the oregano blood.
Yeah. You forgot to add the oregano bonus. Yeah. The fake stoned modifier.
Plus one for the Jim Carrey reference.
Smoking.
Yeah. So, fuck me. God damn it. So this fucking half giant is like, yeah, all right, man. Like, hit me with the secret, dude.
Frank kind of like waves been closer. Yeah, no one else should be able to hear this.
He leans down. He's like, yeah, what's up?
You know, there. You know, cinnamon is sweet, but it is also a spice.
What the fuck?
He kills him in one blow.
The half giant's brain explodes. Now the half giant is like, I gotta try that. And you know what would taste real good with that? Some gnoll. And he scoops up one of the gnolls, the beefier looking one, because he's beefy and he looks like he'll have some meat on him. And this dog's like, what are you doing? Oh my God! And he picks him up and starts walking away with the gnoll. You've absolutely made this half giant just leave with one of the gnolls. So he's walking away. Fuck you. Jesus fucking Christ. How the hell did you roll that well? God damn it. There's one.
Heart of the cards, man.
Yeah.
Heart of the cards.
So now we're up to a noose again, and there's one. So just to give you context, there's now one gnoll left. This dog person's there. He's doing okay, but he's been in decent shape. He actually hasn't been attacked that much. So yeah, what do you do?
Is he awake?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And how far away is the half giant?
He's like 20 feet away. Guy takes big steps, so yeah.
All right. I mean, I guess I'll see if he commits to leaving. I think Anus is a little suspicious. It was that easy. But he's gonna run up to the knoll and attack with his longsword.
Okay. Roll me an attack roll.
I got an 11.
Oh, okay, that hits. That just hits.
Great.
Roll your damage.
Good damage. 11.
Nice. Holy shit. So you really hurt this guy. You just stab him. He's in serious pain. That means that you're up, Tash. Your currently nameless character.
Yeah, I might have changed that. Anyway. So there's still one gnoll.
Near
me? Okay. I'll attack that one. 14.
Yep. Big numbers. So 14 does hit.
Is he still prone, Kev?
No, he never went 21.
To sleep. 21. Okay. Yeah. 21, you fully hit him.
So
roll
both
your
times,
damage.
And then damage is plus 3, 9.
So you don't even get your second swing in.
Max damage.
Tash, finish him.
I just take both of them and put them at the bottom of his throat.
Oh,
and
my God.
Like, dogs don't fucking purr.
He purrs a little right before you kill him. And he dies. His head rolls off. You guys are out of combat. The giant has decided to walk away. He's got the blunt in his mouth and the screaming gnoll in his hand, and he's walking away. He's just like, thanks for the tip, dude.
Frank's turns to his partner and goes, you know, team, this is going to be a story I tell one day.
I hope not.
I have a feeling you're going to be telling it soon.
Well, we got most of the simple machine, so I say it was a moderate success.
So you guys see, as the giant is walking away, blunt in his mouth, you look at the podium and this red jacket is still waving in the breeze. Yeah.
The giant's still within like hearing distance?
Absolutely, yes.
Frank's gonna call out, hey big guy, well, what's your name?
I nudge you and I just say, don't push it.
He turns around, he's like, bum.
Did he say bong or bum?
Bum. He said bum. His name is Bum.
I'll see you later, bum.
Anus, do you know bum?
That is hurtful, and I don't appreciate it.
So I'm having a little fun here. So we're breaking the tension post-combat.
I don't understand.
Well, Frank, how don't you feel this one?
I think that's a story for another time.
The giant's like, can I go now?
Or please, yeah, please. Yeah.
Just check it. Yeah. Being respectful.
The giant turns around and leaves.
I have a feeling we're going to be encountering that guy a few more times in this adventure.
His name is just Bum. Why did I name him that?
Anus, who is named very carefully, goes up to the red jacket to investigate it.
Okay. Roll me an investigate check.
7.
That's a nice red jacket.
I turn towards everyone and I say, it's red.
It's more of a magenta to me. I'm going to have a look. Investigate?
Yeah.
Nat 20.
Ooh. Okay. So, old McGinty's looking at this thing and, you know,
I know the hex code and everything for this color.
Old McGinty did a great job designing his sign and now knows. Yeah, he knows the jacket. He knows the hex code of the color on it, the RGB makeup. And he you see inside the breast pocket, you can see sort of a little bulge there. What do you do?
Yeah, I'm going to reach in.
Sure. So you reach your hand in, you pull out a small I guess it's like it's almost like a very ornate cosmetic mirror. So it's like a little pocket mirror. So you flip it open and it's a mirror. And that's what you found. It engraved on it. It just has some coordinates.
You guys just some coordinates.
Just a map to the next part of the story.
Big treasure axe.
You would
throw this mirror away if there's just coordinates on it.
Coordinates are disrupting my reflection.
not on the mirror, on the casing.
Okay, fair enough.
And you would recognize the coordinates as as roughly the same location as the building that was pointed out to you earlier by Sputton.
Look, I used to geocache back in my day. I know where this is.
Geocache.
Fantasy geocache.
Yeah. What do you guys do?
Let's head back to the...
I go really close to mid... Oh my god, what is your
it's
name?
It's old McGinty. Well, I never caught your name, by the way.
Oh, it's Riel, by the way.
Riel.
But that's beside the point. I get my face really close to the compact, and I'm like, what are you going to do with that? Can I have it? Can I have it, please?
Yeah, I think I memorized the coordinates.
Okay,
yeah,
grab
why
it.
Why don't you have at
my
her?
Bag.
Okay, sure, thanks. Yeah. You grab the compact. You guys make your
I way. Also look at the jacket and be like, is anybody going to take that?
No, yours.
Just take it.
I take it and put it in my bag.
As you guys walk away from the scene, you're slowly just like pocketing different things that are around. What do you guys do?
Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat?
Holy shit.
Your complexion. your collection's almost finished.
Yeah. Your name is Rael, not Ariel.
Right? Yeah.
Let's go back to the.
I think Anus wants to, properly introduce himself to this group that he found himself with.
So, what does he do?
Starts rapping.
Yeah, he approaches them and he says, something takes a part of me, something lost and never seen. Every time I start to believe, something's raped and taken from me.
Oh my God.
Oh God, he's a freak on a leash.
Sweet Timothy Dalton's ghost.
He's from fucking Korn. Anus grows long dreads like Jonathan Taylor.
No, he
wearing
actually
a mask, like a weird
mask. Taylor Thomas.
rather than just reading all the lyrics to "Freak on a Leash," I think he says, "Greetings, companions. I have spent a long time by myself, looking for others who are good, like me, and who can do good in the world. You seem to be those companions."
That's a bit much.
Wow. Yeah. You fight a couple battles with a guy, and all of a sudden he's your best friend? What's going on here?
Yeah, I mean, like, you're a bunch of old dudes.
Wow, we still got lots to offer.
It's true.
Plenty of life left in me.
You do have oregano. It smells delicious.
Thank you.
Technically speaking, also, Thomas's character doesn't look that old. Like, Thomas's character, because he's a half-elf, and he's in his
50s. I noticed them gray hairs.
Okay. Although, although you and I are different, and those two are strangely similar, all four of us are children under mother.
Well, we have that. I mean, I got nobody else.
I've got a bunch of other stuff I got to take care of, personal stuff, but I'm happy to go check out this safe house with y'all for now.
Well, since we're all doing some introductions, I think it's only fair I go next.
Okay, we can do this.
Sputton has fully walked away during all this. He's just like, these fucking people take talking too fucking long. It's just fucked up.
The name is Frank the Bloodpath Abomination. So, I recently graduated from Faust's School of Necromancy. And if you're unfamiliar, necro means dead, and mancy means a practitioner of a magic field of sorts. So, I'm just gonna go out in the world trying to spread the good word of revival and death. You know, it's all a big circle. It's all a big circle. It comes back.
That is a hard school to get into.
Thank you. Thank you. I studied real hard. Really, really hard.
You get like a scholarship?
Nope. No scholarships out in the farmland. Had to sell most of my acres just to afford it.
You probably have some big loans to pay off.
Oh, don't remind me.
Now, if you go to the community necromancer college, it's a lot cheaper, but you're not necessarily going to get quality.
It's not really hands-on, you know?
No, it's true.
Yeah. Like, I want a real, like, lay-on-hands experience.
Yeah, Faust really puts you in the trenches, and by that I mean
they
graves.
They give you real corpses to work with.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't want to work on, like, theory corpses or some dummies.
Jesus Christ.
I guess if we're doing this, he hands out coupons to everybody. 50% off, does expire in a week. I'm Old McGinty. I am a simple baker. I make pastries. I'm just an old man. Likes to bring a little sweetness into the world sometimes. Y'all want to check out this house?
You know, I got a secret for you.
Is this going to be about oregano or some other spice?
Maybe another time then.
Okay, sounds good.
So, you guys make your way after your little introductions back to the old house that you looked at before. What do you guys do?
Can I check to see if there's like some kind of secret door or something like that, like a hidden door?
Beautiful.
Sure. Yeah. You can. You want to investigate?
Yeah. And that's a 20, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo! 22.
So you're feeling around the building a little bit, and you can kind of feel like there's some like loose stones or something. There's like a hum on one side of the wall, sort of like in the air. You can kind of feel like there's something a little off about one of these sides here, but you can't quite figure it out.
Do buildings normally hum in the top world? Like, just wondering. I'm new here, so.
Not generally.
Okay.
Unless they're having a good time.
Someone want to check out the roof?
Well, if we had some sort of pulley system
to get
up there.
We need some sort of rope and wheel.
Is there a flagpole? I guess we should really...
What's a flagpole situation? Half mast, full mast? I guess with the tragedy downtown, probably
there,
half.
You know what? You can see there was a huge flagpole easily taller than this building, but because of the destruction, it fell over, it's cracked in half, it's unusable now.
If we lean it against the building, it could act as an inclined plane to get up. A noose there. Yeah, you're a muscle boy.
Yes, I am the boy of muscle. Let me try to hoist this pole. I got a 12.
You just tried to lift up the half.
I did
broken...
a strength check with the pole.
To pick up the flagpole. Okay. So you pick it up. You pick up the flagpole. What do you do with it?
I need help.
All right. So what you want to do with it is you want to lean it up against the top of the building, God, and that gives us a clear path to the roof.
Yes, and it would also take the burden off of my muscles. And I like lean it against the building.
It's like you're converting your forward momentum into upwards energy.
That is the best way to use force.
Now you've got. Son of a bitch. You've got this thing leaned up against the building. Can you actually all give me an investigation check?
Is there something really simple that we're overlooking? Like a machine, maybe?
11.
13.
2.
18.
2. I don't see anything.
Okay. Maybe I actually probably should have made that a perception check.
Well, let's take out the mirror and see if it does anything too.
Okay. So yeah, you say that after Rael notices that in the stainless steel flagpole there's like that things don't look quite the same in the reflection of the on the stainless steel flagpole. You might think it might have to do with the curvature of the pole, but
all right, bear with me. I got an idea here. Why don't we look in the mirror at the building using the mirror? Okay. Is that weird?
I'm on board.
How is this idea? Nah, it's stupid. No, it's a stupid idea. Never mind.
Every idea is worth trying once.
But not twice.
Rael takes the
I follow Wile E. Coyote logic.
Hands it over to...
No, have at her. It's your mirror, yeah.
Okay, it's mine. It is mine. opens it and... faces the wall.
Face away from the wall.
No, I look away from the wall, but then the mirror is facing the wall, so with respect to me, I can see.
Sure. Make sense? Yes. You're looking at the wall through the mirror.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You see a door.
Yeah, there's a door.
You see a door there.
Eureka!
Yeah. And so I assume you go and open this door. Or what do you do?
It's been a long night.
It looks like a regular wooden door. Okay. Yeah, it looks like a regular wooden door with a wooden handle on it.
Okay. I guess I'd grab the handle. So if I look to the wall, like behind me, is it still there?
They don't see the door. So when you don't look at it through the reflection, you can't see the door.
Okay. So I kind of have to maneuver my hand until I find the knob.
Yeah.
Looking at the mirror,
yeah.
And then open it, and then I fall through the door.
Sure, yeah. You fall through the door, dust billows out. Do you guys join her in the room? You walk in?
Yeah.
You good?
Yeah.
okay. What are you rolling?
Frank was pretty dedicated to this inclined plane, but I think he was sold by the door being opened.
So you all walk in. Frank has to walk underneath the pole.
Anus, picks up the pole and tries to carry it into the building.
We might need that for a puzzle later,
Bonksing it against the walls and things like that.
But he holds it like the wrong way. Kind of like a dog stepping a stick into the door.
You're just like banging against the door frame, can't quite get in because it's too wide.
Guys, I can't get in.
I can't figure out this part of the journey. You'll have to go on without me.
We won't forget you, Anus.
Thomas' character dies of starvation. end of pod. So you guys make it inside the room, and there's almost nothing there. It's like a barren. It looks like sort of like a. The walls are stone. There's a dirt floor, and there's nothing really around. You can't see almost anything. There's a small desk in a corner, and there's a single envelope on the table.
Is it red?
No.
Maybe you should use that mirror to see if there's anything else that pops up.
All right. I face the mirror towards the envelope. Somebody go on the other side. See, tell me what they can see.
Yeah, I'll get you a hobble over.
So you do that. You see, when you look through the reflection, you see in the room that there's actually a lot of like bookcases and shelving and things like that. Things that seemed like they would have used to hold a lot of documents. They're all gone. All empty. This room is also empty through the reflection. But yeah.
Does it look like ransacked, or does it mostly just look like someone moved all the stuff out?
Give me an insight check.
7.
It looks pretty empty in there. That's for sure.
So there is furniture that we can't see?
There is furniture that you can't see. But through the reflection, all of the furniture seems to be empty.
Does the envelope change at all?
No.
By looking, okay.
I think Anus is interested in the letter and makes his way over to it.
Okay. Do you open it up?
Yes.
You open the envelope. There doesn't seem to be anything inside of it. And then you turn it upside down over the desk, and a severed string falls out of the envelope. End of session.
I like the concept of having a room where you establish everything, but we can just walk through it like most of our improv scenes.
Thank you so much for listening, folks. This was, for some of us, our first time playing D&D. For some of us, it was our first time DMing. And for all of us, it was the first time we recorded what we do in the basement. If you enjoyed this, please go ahead, go onto iTunes, rate it 5 stars, share it with your friends, do all the things that you do when you're trying to support a podcast. We're just starting out here and we're trying to get our feet underneath us. My name was Kevin Rambaran. That was Thomas Tolles. That was Luke Cecilon. That was Jesse Bergen. And that was Natasha Durand. Stay safe out there and have a great life. What's our sign-off going to be?
Fare thee well, travelers.
It's just going to be fare thee well, travelers.
No.
I have a sign-off because we killed a lot of dogs this episode.
Okay.
I have a
great
quote,
those doggies
a quote,
to bed.
A quote from Old Yeller, which is that things like that happen. They might seem cruel and unfair, but that's how life is a part of the time. And that isn't the only way life is. A part of the time, it's mighty good. And a man can't afford to waste all the good part worrying about the bad part. That makes it all bad.
We'll see you next time in the basement.
Wonderful.